for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Aisha Tyler is our guest tonight. Dear, dear friend.
Doctor of love.
We know her from Talk Soup, and also I know her from Friends. Mm-hmm. I don't think Drew watches
No, I actually saw her in Friends.
Five episodes as Ross's gal pal.
I actually ended up doing eight. Well, four geez, in the you don't watch spring and four in the fall.
I would have guessed more had I not checked the fact sheet. Seemed like you're on for like a season to me, but hey, if it says five episodes, it's five episodes. Yes, Drew?
You know, the fact sheet never lies.
The fact sheet never lies. I'll have to go give that money back.
Aisha is here to promote her new book, which is called Swerve, mm-hmm. Reckless Observations of a Postmodern Girl. What can we expect to find in this book, Aisha?
Lots of great bar stories. It's essentially, I wrote it because I was doing a lot of stand-up, and I felt like there was all this stuff I wanted to say that you can't, in an hour on stage, you got to be funny every couple of seconds, and I wanted to talk about I wanted to do some socio-political commentary, and when people are drunk on a Friday night, they want you here to talk about body, you know, self-image issues and sexuality, right. and you know, hypersexuality and video music, so.
Well, it's a good and interesting and valid point, which is, I just got done doing Jimmy Kimmel, and
excellent show.
Yes, I enjoy it myself. Not tonight's show because I was on it, but normally it's a good show. The point is you go out there, you have 6-7 minutes. You have to sort of get to it.
Yeah.
And also, there's 300 people sitting there who need you to get to it. And if you don't get to it for 18 seconds, it feels like an
hour.
Eternity.
Yeah.
And so,
something happened tonight?
They want you to just dance, monkey, dance. They don't want to listen to your ideas. They don't want you to build up to the crescendo.
Something happened tonight.
No. I've been better. Okay. I'll be frank with you. I have been better. So has the audience.
But you're very self-aware.
The point is people always ask me, and they don't ask Drew this. It's obvious he's lucky to be here. But they ask me, why do you continue to do this radio? Or why aren't you, you know, why do you want to keep doing the radio all these years, the TV shows and things like that? You don't have to do it. You don't get this kind of time.
No.
We ironically can't talk about this.
Yeah. Exactly.
On TV.
On anything else, right.
And it's funny because I do a lot of TV, and people ask, oh, you have to go and do all this radio. I'm like, I love and have always and will always love radio.
In fact, if anybody had half a brain, they would let people talk like this on television.
Oh, yeah.
It would do fine.
So much more. Whenever you watch a really great interview and people are confident,
they
want dancing and clips, and here's a visual aid, and now someone's
going to God forbid, on television, you have to build an audience. That's what you have to do.
What ends up happening, quite honestly, is once in a while, Jimmy Kahn gets up there and waxes poetic about something that has no ending for 12 minutes, and it freaks everybody out sufficiently, so we just want him to tell the grotto story, and then it's time to move on to the world's fastest grocery bagger.
Yeah, or the guy who can swallow pool balls or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, if it would work out. I mean, it's sort of like the call times. If Pam Anderson didn't show up and, you know, late and hold up the tapings, and if the rappers didn't show up drunk and hold up the tapings, we could show up at the studio a nice leisurely 45 minutes to an hour before we actually have to do anything, which is it still seems like an incredible amount of time for me. But there's a handful of a-holes that F it up to the point where if we go on at 6, the call time's at 1:45. Because now it's the same with it's like airport security. You know, it's like there's a couple of guys who may cause a little trouble on the plane, and for that, grandma's got to take her shoes off.
Yeah.
It's really life, if you think about it. It's just a handful of people setting policy.
Yeah, screwing it up for everybody.
And it's a weird thing, and I know we're jumping around, but again, we can do this. It's the radio. You know, this whole country is really sort of founded on the principle that the majority will speak, and then that's what will happen. Yeah. I mean, everyone gets together, they vote, whatever thing, whoever candidate, whatever bill, whatever it is gets the most votes, well, then that one wins. But when it comes to things, you know, involving lawsuits and security and things like that, so one guy throws a beer bottle at one Mets game and we're all drinking out of Dixie cups. That's it.
Well, the tyranny, we were talking about the tyranny of the minority earlier with the with the boob incident on at the halftime show, that, you know, two or three people have all of a sudden created this maelstrom of, you know, I don't know, maybe cleavage will be banned on television from now on. Nothing resembling the breast can be shown.
In the world. To be,
yeah, everywhere. Cleavage, yes, attacking other countries for showing boobs.
By the way, I was thinking again on the same topic, sort of, you know, the Statue of Liberty has been closed down since 9/11. Never really thought about it. Well, you can't go up.
Didn't they say that maybe it will never open again?
They're just going to leave it closed. They're going to weld the vagina shut.
That's so un-American for so many reasons, the first of which is that you should never weld any vagina shut. I think that's just purely un-American
Some cultures do that. We cannot judge.
I'll judge right now. The vagina should be open. The vagina, like information on the internet, the vagina wants to be open. I'm going to regret saying that. I know that as soon as it came out, I regretted it.
I was reading USA Today that you can go out and stand it and look at her, but no more climbing up and admiring the view of the harbor. Yeah. Right, and I thought I know it sounds cliche and trite, but terrorists have won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
We can't go up to the head of the Statue
of
Liberty.
Up into the symbol of this country's principle of liberty and freedom.
I mean, that's a victory.
It's ridiculous. Who cares, honestly? I mean, this is going to sound awful, but. It would suck if somebody blew up the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, that would suck.
That would really suck. Absolutely. I'm not going to say it wouldn't suck.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot of worse things that could happen. That sounds awful, but I guess I'm saying, like, let's just worry about security on our airplanes and our major skyscrapers and our football domes.
Let
people go up into the Statue of Liberty.
Provide some security. I don't know, metal detector at that. What do you climb in? The ass, the mouth?
There's a building in the base.
Is there an elevator?
No orifice.
Can you go up into the crown and look out the crown?
But you go in, it's on a huge pedestal, building.
But not only that, but it's not like hundreds of people can go up there at one time. It's a tiny...
Lots of people go up.
Isn't it just an elevator and a stairwell?
30 people can fit into a cranium.
You can screen all those people. You can screen those people.
Yeah. Look, here's the point. Whatever they'll say, sure, we could screen them. We don't have the resources to put somebody everywhere and protect everything. So we'll just close it down.
It sounds sort of Pollyannish to say that the terrorists have won. I mean, it's like, hey, criminals have won too, because we have to talk to our gas station attendant across a glass shield now.
There's a thousand
things in our life that we do that are a pain in the ass because bad people have made us do it.
Don't you find it a grand irony that the symbol, like essentially the one kind of like physical symbol of our nation's like principles of freedom is being closed up?
It is ironic, and yet if there is such a thing as a time when it can be opened, the fact that it survives this time in history
will allow it to be open. I think there'll always be crazy people wanting to bust stuff.
No, but I don't care. I really don't care. I'm Janet Jackson. I'm not arguing for her.
Here's the point is obviously the terrorists haven't won, but the notion that they've done more damage than just the bombs and the body counts.
Yes.
And the fact that we cannot climb up to the top of the Statue
God
of
only
Liberty
knows, by the way,
is pretty symbolic.
What it's doing to the psyche of my kids and people like that. I mean, they talk about it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, and it was like at the height of the Cold War, and I was terrified of being blown up. I mean, that was all I thought about. And they made that movie the day after.
Mental note.
Yes, exactly. You guys are going to, you could head shrink me there.
Yeah.
Feel free to head shrink me. You know what?
If
you're a thinker, then that's all you do is think about how you could die. So,
recovery.
Do you remember the day after?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was so preoccupied with nuclear war at like the age of whatever, 5 or 6 or 7, that my mom wouldn't allow me to watch the day after because she was sure that would send me over the edge. I'm the most neurotic black person in the world, literally.
Yeah.
Yes, I am. If you were looking for the neurotic black person, I am she.
I don't like to stereotype.
Is this where the uppity bitch paradox comes from?
Yes, that's where the uppity bitch paradox comes from.
You can read about that in a chapter in her book The Uppity Bitch Paradox.
And it is a paradox.
There's not so many paranoid black folks.
We have real crap. I was going to say a bad word. We have real stuff to deal with, so we don't imagine. We don't worry about imaginary crap. You know what I mean? We got people trying to shoot at us.
I also like that being. I like it being stoned a lot too, and just sort of flowing with things. I mean, not you, of course, yes. But, you know, the black populace. But
yes, everybody else is high, absolutely.
Yeah.
Colin Powell burns every night.
It's the same reason I say that the black man and a woman for that
this
matter.
This is getting so exciting.
Yeah, where's it going to go?
This is why they're not into the mushrooms. They're not into the acid. They're not into
Black people don't like to hallucinate. My father, who is like the king of black aphorisms, would often say to me when I would be like, oh, we're going to go see whatever Friday the 13th or Scream, he'd be like, I don't need to see that. I can look out the window. That's my father's favorite sentence.
Right.
It was like, chicken neck is out there stabbing somebody right now. You know, that's my father's favorite sentence. favorite line.
Did he, like, was he a character in a 70s sitcom?
I swear to you, like, my father's actually quite a normal, like, kind of, like, adjusted man, but I make him into Red Fox whenever I do him. Yes, my father, there's a quote in the book about, in the Albany Bitch Paradox chapter, about my father used to give me a big speech when I would leave every morning. He would give me, like, this big get-up-and-go speech, kind of the upshot of which was, get out there and grab life by the balls and yank down hard.
Wow.
And don't sleep with boys. That was the speech I would get every morning.
I'm using that enough, my daughter.
Yeah, you go for it. He had a rhyming one that wasn't really rhyming, but it was rhymey. I don't know. It felt rhymey to me, which was keep your grades and your draws up. That was just what? That he'd say that to me every day from like the age of 7.
Seems like a mixed message to ask your daughter to grab some testicles and stay away.
Well, they were
from
metaphorical testicles. I knew that it was metaphorical, okay. You know, because life really doesn't have.
Oh my God, I mean, those right. very words are written here.
Oh yeah, that's
not that she knew it metaphorically is also written here.
I was an abstract thinker at a very young age.
She knew that life did not have testicles.
I knew that. I was like, yeah. I know my dad is not actually talking about real testicles.
Let's say black people are lucky in the sense that their parents, if they stay around, do talk to them. Drew, did your dad never say anything to
white
you?
White people don't tell my parents don't talk to their kids?
I didn't know my dad's voice sounds like. He may have a thick Russian accent for
all
I know.
Is he talking out of one of those little like voice actualizers?
Well, he has a voice. Yeah, he never uses it to talk to Adam.
You know, they don't have isms. And I mean, occasionally you get a good Jewish dad who might throw something in. But like your dad. You know, a couple of warnings about staying out of trouble, maybe, or how much something is costing. But other than that,
well, do you think that white people are afraid when they say things, they make them real? Like, you know, my family was very much like they would talk about sex and be like, don't, you know, and they would talk about drugs. Like, here's what drugs will do to you, and this is why you shouldn't do them. Whereas white people are like, don't do drugs; they're bad. And then the kids are like, you don't know what you're talking about. And they just go do them anyway.
I think it's a function of this may be off, but I think it's a function of historical circumstances of the family systems. And a lot of white people come from European families.
I feel like I need to look at a chart now, Drew.
That were fleeing and are very very inclusive mm-hmm. families. So there's no separation. So it's sort of uncomfortable to even talk to somebody because it's mm-hmm. all one undifferentiated ego mass.
Mm-hmm.
Black family system comes from a very traumatic history with slavery and whatnot, where people were individuals and
struggling.
And they
had extended families.
They'd
actually create families. Yeah.
Right. And so mm-hmm. individuals have a role.
And you would bond
exist.
With someone maybe that you weren't related to or weren't even very close to just because of difficult circumstances mm-hmm. around you. Well, I like that. I feel head shrunk right
better.
Now. I feel shrunk.
Better.
Yeah, I feel good.
I also have this theory that a lot of black dads don't hang out and see the kids grow up. So the ones that do are into it.
Yeah.
Like they're super. The ones the black dad doesn't hang out and sit around in a sort of indifferent posture like maybe our parents did. Just sort of the kids will grow up or they won't or they'll do drugs or they won't. The black dad that hangs in, stays in, keeps the unit together. Has got some advice for the kids.
There's so many things wrong with that statement, but I will agree.
I'm right.
That
right?
My father was very active. I mean, my father was like an active.
No, that's what he's saying.
I know. I'm like the part about black people aren't around.
No. He's saying there's no in between.
Yes. Yes, it's either one or the other.
All the way in,
yeah, you don't have a lot of ambivalent black fathers. I will say that. If they're they are all up in there. Saying. That is very true.
They're there. They're hardcore. They're committed.
Yeah, they're there. They're in your face. There's no getting away from
they're
daddy.
They're like the fans that are out in the stands when it's snowing.
Yes.
Those are the hardcore ones. They're not the fair weather ones. Yeah.
My father would have been the last guy with the foam hand. I mean, even now, my father is just, you know, he has.
He can't be the guy with the shirt off in Buffalo.
I grew up in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah, but my dad is now just you know still with the aphorisms and the speeches. Now he's very down. He comes down to Jay Leno and talks his ear off and gives.
Yeah, our parents don't talk, which is good. It's paying off now.
now you don't miss it, right?
We realize whatever they're saying would have been horrible anyway.
Hey, before we go to calls, we still are going with the animal promotion. DVD and the animal. First five callers, 18 years or older, will get on the air tonight. Will win the Animal Uncut Special Edition DVD starring Rob Schneider, who was in here last night.
All right,
and that's in stores today.
He is a lovely and charming chap.
Yes. He's a
friend of the show. Dear
friend, Serena.
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. Well, I called in like a while ago, like 4 months ago, and it was about this guy I had been seeing, but like he wouldn't go out with me, and he's 22 and I'm 16, mm-hmm. and finally we started going out, and we've been going out for like 5 months now or something like that, but no, not 5 months, but still, like his best friend is a girl. And, like, he's always hanging out with her, but he never tells, like, he won't tell me, like, when he's hanging out with her. Like, he'll always say he's with his friend.
All right.
Like,
Serena, this is why you don't go out with 22-year-old guys
right.
when you're 16.
I'm sure our advice in the first place was not to date this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now here you are. Yeah, good times.
He's not a great guy. Here's what you get when you get the 22-year-old guys going out with the 16-year-old. Worst case scenario, you have the real lecherous sort of criminal, dicey guy who's going to, you know, abuse you and take advantage of you. And best case, you just have kind of a loser guy.
Best case, you got a 22-year-old that will date a 16-year-old.
Yeah, like a 22-year-old who, like, can't hang out with other, like, he's got to hang out with a kid.
But I just mean there's just
adults.
Your basic loser guy, and then there's serious dicey guy.
But, like, also, it's just like, what do you have in common with this guy? Like, what are you guys talking about? Like, his suit... bitchin' Camaro? I mean, I don't understand. I also will say this about that. I'm going to say something on the opposite side of this, which is that my best friend is a guy. And has been, other than my husband, my second best friend is a guy.
The spouse best friend.
Yes, he is. He's my friend. You just haven't been in a real relationship yet.
I just hope he doesn't say that about you. I don't mind the chick saying that about the guys, but the guy goes, my girl's my best friend.
My oldest friend since like the eighth grade is a guy. And I would just find out, like I would go... you should break up with this guy. But let's say you were with another guy your age and he had a girl that was his friend. I mean, you should just be able to spend time with this person. And if it's not cool with this guy for you to be around when she's around, then it's very clear that that relationship is not cool.
Not a friendship.
Yeah.
Right. Also, yes, I would say I would agree with that. But I would also say that the guy could be embarrassed that he's going out with a high school girl
because
and not went around for that reason, too, because he doesn't want to get judged by the friend. Either way,
it's all bad.
You need to, like, go out with somebody your own age.
Well, we, like, work together, like, all three of us. Like, his best friend restaurant. And, like, me and him all work together. Restaurant.
If you guys all wear the same striped smock, then there's nothing we can do.
What's your issue?
Well, he never wants me to hang out with her, and he never tells me when he's hanging out with her, but he'll tell me when he's hanging out with all his other friends. Right.
Is she attractive?
Yes, like, she's really pretty.
All right, well, then that's it. We hate to bring up that aspect of it, but Drew, that's where it is.
You should break up with him.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, if he's hiding that relationship.
We're talking about an a-hole guy.
Yeah.
So you can easily go to those primitive issues, and that's the hell's the story.
Just break up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be strong, though. You know what I mean? It's like you got to be a big girl about this. You know, I'm sure it's pretty exciting to date a guy a lot older than you. He's got a car and he's got money or whatever it is he's got going on, and that's exciting. But where's this guy going to be? Is he going to be around? You know what I mean? It's like he's lying to you and he's hiding stuff from you now. It's not going to get any better. It's just going to start sucking more.
And let me say this. You should have a healthy respect, as the young people are calling for your teachers, your parents, and folks like that. But don't think they're winners just because they're 5-6 years older than you. Like this guy, the only thing he's got is he was born 5-6 years before she was, therefore he's a winner. When you get to be that age, if you're at where he's at, you'll consider yourself a loser.
You will be mortified when you think that you dated that guy.
Yeah. Oh, you'll be 22. So embarrassed, because I dated an older guy when I was your age. I dated a guy who was like 22 when I was like 16.
Oh, my God.
And literally, I'm honest. I'm not afraid to be honest. I'm not afraid to tell the truth. And I was embarrassed like the day after I broke up with him. I was like, what was I thinking? Because clearly this guy was just trying to sleep with me. That was all he wanted.
How long did it last for?
Until I didn't sleep with him. And maybe it's like 3 weeks. He put in 3 weeks and realized it wasn't going to pay off. And then he walked away.
That is learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
totally.
Fine. I think women kind of need to go through
that. You know,
because
I was like, oh, he's got a great car and he lights two cigarettes for us. You know, it was like, so lame. I mean, you know, what the hell? Break up with this guy.
I just immediately think of the character.
I found myself being attracted to this man as he's talking about the cigarettes.
It was hot. He would light the two cigarettes and he'd hand me one, and they were Newports, and he had a letter jacket, and he was in the Marines.
I immediately begin to think of the guy from Dazed and Confused, the Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, J.K. Levin.
That's exactly what I think of when you talk about
that. I mean, at this age, like if you were 40 and he was 45, okay, whatever. But you guys aren't in the same place in your lives, and there's nothing that you have that should be in common.
Done and done.
Right. She's never going to break up with him. No. Stevie?
That's what we do. We're trying to talk to all the other ones out there that are about to fall victim to this kind of behavior.
Don't do what I did.
Stevie?
Hello?
You're 17?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi, Stevie.
What's up? You're on with Aisha Tyler, by the way.
Hi, Aisha.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I think you're hilarious.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. Thank you.
First, I just want to say, Dr. Drew, I've been reading your book, and it provides so much insight into the situation I'm going through right now. It's tremendous.
Oh, good. Thank you.
My question is directed towards you. My mom's a drug addict, and she's been in and out of rehab several times throughout my life. Just recently, she was on probation, and she was forced to take monthly drug testing, so it always came back clean. But now that she's off probation, I feel she's using again.
What's her drug of choice?
Painkillers, Vicodin.
Okay. All right.
Just a few days ago, I found receipts to the pharmacy signifying that she did.
Okay. Well, there's no doubt she is, so.
So I confronted her today.
Yeah.
And she basically kind of passed me off.
Yeah.
Really turned the situation back on me.
Of course.
You know, yelled at me. And it's been going on for so long that I just want to know, because my family's fairly conservative, and no one, you know, everyone wants to keep it quiet, and no one really says anything except myself. Yeah. So,
all right, here's what you can do. There's not a lot you can do. You've got to understand that she has this disease just as if she had cancer or heart disease, and it's not something you can control or do much about. But you do have some leverage. One thing you can do that is essential for your own health and may actually have the highest probability of getting her to move towards more, to really embrace treatment more realistically, is for you to go to an Al-Anon, you to go to a codependency meeting regularly, get a sponsor, and work the steps yourself, because that disengages you from the dance, and the identified addict will feel that separation and get a little freaked out by it. When you really have had it with their disease and you start growing in a recovery of your own, you won't put up with this crap anymore, and they'll see it, and that freaks them out. They really believe they're losing you, and they begin to put the pieces together that's their disease that's causing them to lose you. So you can do that. And then you can call her doctor and the pharmacies or whoever else prescribing these things and notify them that there's addiction here.
Well, she keeps, like, bouncing around from pharmacy.
I know.
Pharmacy.
Just listen. There's only a certain number of pharmacies in your area. You can call them all.
Okay. It's been going on for several years. I remember when I was really young, she would, you know,
I know.
Go
Stevie,
on.
I don't know.
Go
yeah,
to Al-Anon or get a,
wait,
get a,
you really
get
think
a therapist.
Getting on the horn with the pharmacist.
No, I don't think that's the best. But see, Stevie really wants to do something. That's the best thing she can do. But otherwise,
know, but,
it's going to Al-Anon herself.
Yeah, I think she just go to Al-Anon.
All right,
like,
that's fine.
I don't want to tell your business, but I think the idea that she's going to be responsible
no,
or somehow make
be.
The change is a bad
No, you're right.
I mean, one thing is, you sound like you're very self-aware and you're very aware of what's
well,
going on in your mom's life.
She's parentalized, which is sort of
Which sucks that you have to kind of be the parent in the situation. But, you know, I would also just, for your own sake, I think what Dr. Drew said is great. You need to start to, like make a life for yourself and create a space for yourself that feels safe. But you should also just not be afraid to be honest with people, like in your family. And, you know, like when people are, because a lot of people, they're enabling this, they don't want to deal with it. And you should be like, you know, you guys, this is bullcrap that you're not being honest about this. And get maybe an environment around your mom where she feels like she doesn't have anybody that's making it safe for
her
to be
an
addict.
But then that's the difference between a black family and a white family. Black family, it's easy to speak to. White family, I'm fine.
Yeah, but my family's all about interventions. We're like, I won't take it anymore. You always eat all the pie.
Stevie, another good book for you is The Drama of the Gifted Child. That will sort of tell your story a little bit.
Drama of the Gifted Child?
Yeah. I can tell that's you.
But you sound really strong, you know, and don't feel like, you know, that's an incredible thing, and hold on to that, and don't ever feel like you're wrong for what you're doing.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
good
you
luck.
Have
a good time. So
yeah. Good time.
Right. I like to contribute something to every call.
That's good.
Always
times.
You do.
Good
it's either abundanza.
Pizza for one.
Or what you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
It takes all kinds.
Yeah.
Or good times.
It's been a while since Cyber Adam has performed on the show. Hey, it takes all kinds. I really think I just laid down like five drops, and I don't think I have to show up anymore.
No, that's it. What?
Just throw them in
for
there.
For diversity, you can show up once in a while. But
you're probably, if you go home, you might think of another 10 or 15.
We'll try. Aisha Tyler's here tonight, by the way. Her new book is Swerve, Reckless Observations of a Postmodern Girl. When we come back, we'll try a little Cyber Adam. So we can take a call.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, I don't have to do anything.
Only with you're just going to go to the can.
It's like five drops. Yeah, good times and
takes all kinds.
It'll work. Boy. You'll see. All right, we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Aisha Tyler's in studio tonight. Swerve is the name of the new book, Reckless Observations of a Postmodern Girl. And tomorrow night, we have Drew, you got three punches in. And
yeah,
the first 28 minutes of the show. tomorrow night, Jeff Probst will be in here from Survivor. So
very exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited to meet him. I do really enjoy that show.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it couldn't get any harder this year. They're just dropping them off.
Yeah.
They're not giving them fire.
Well, they ultimately did, right?
No.
Well, I don't
Two
know.
Of them got fire.
Well,
no.
They have to make it. They have to make it. If you don't make it, you don't get it. I mean, I'm sure at some point they'll
I thought the contest, the last thing they did, they didn't
get fired. They gave it, I mean, in the environment, but they couldn't take it back to camp. Not only that, but apparently these people are all getting dehydration sickness. And are
what's his name, Rudy, is you cannot take a 75-year-old man. He will die fast.
Organ failure. Yeah.
I mean, that is some serious ass. I don't understand.
Dude, I'm parched if I don't have a cup of tea in the morning.
We're talking about 3 days without water is a big deal.
Damn, you can die in that time.
No sweat.
It was raining and they were like sucking on the edges of those little...
Of course.
Those little marketing outfits.
I mean, it's sort of offensive slash dangerous slash entertaining.
There's got to be a staff doctor. There's got to be a staff doctor there that is watching these people and making sure that they don't reach the point where they get really sick.
If you remember when What's-His-Name fell in the fire, they had to bring a helicopter in. There was nothing there for that guy.
I don't know how you make sure someone's not being dehydrated.
It's blood tests. That's the only way you. It's only blood tests.
Well, can't you look at them and like look at their tongue and their eyes and their responsiveness and kind of see?
I could see through television they were in trouble.
Really?
Serious trouble. And not only that, when Jerry was here, she talked about the refeeding. Somebody's been starving for a while, the refeeding has done on a very systematic way.
Yeah, you can't just eat a sandwich.
They had all these horrible medical problems. They'd swelled up. They got phosphate problems. I mean, these are life-threatening potential problems.
Well, you know, the guy who created the show created the Eco Challenge. You ever watched the Eco Challenge before?
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with the Eco Challenge. The Eco Challenge is survivor-like to the nth degree because they're actually true athletes. This is like a 300 to 400-mile race.
Oh, yeah, I heard about
right?
this.
Right? No sleep, no rest, no stopping. And these people, I remember one year, a girl vomited up the entire lining of her stomach.
Well,
but, you know, that's,
really?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just sign
What's
up and you.
What does that look like?
I don't know, you know, placenta?
It's just
I have no
it's
idea.
Blood.
It's just
oh, it's blood.
Crap. But the point is that these are athletes. They've agreed to this race. They don't sleep. They eat as they run.
But
and...
young people can withstand a lot.
Yeah. But, I mean, Rudy must have said going in, I know the risks of this.
Yeah, but who assessed
that? No one's going to let me
Rudy,
die.
Rudy
right?
is, you know.
Don't they have to go under like a, undergo like a medical test or something?
You know, I worked on Big Brother, and they did nominal psychological
testing. Well, you know,
things.
But Big Brother, those guys are like fighting over the toaster.
But the point is, they were like, oh, we're doing psychological testing.
Oh, really?
Nominal.
No. Yeah.
Nominal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's basically, are they psychotic?
That's yeah, like, basically. Are they going to stab somebody with a plastic
Are they finger? Violent? Are they psychotic? And that's it.
All right. Well, here's the thing. You can be in perfect health and then not drink for a week and
be in
fall
trouble.
Into bad health.
Yeah, that's right.
The other thing is, it struck me as, you know, we spent, as humans, we spent the entire part of our existence up until this point trying to get things.
Yeah.
I mean, trying to put roofs over our head, trying to get food, trying to package things so we had them. Yeah, trying to protect ourselves from the elements. And the last 3 years, it's just been all of us just diving outside and seeing how far we could run before we drop.
So what is that? I mean, I think that's probably like a natural human response to everything feeling kind of manufactured and managed.
I think the feeling is we got to keep moving forward. And if we create an environment that's too comfortable for ourselves, then we'll take ourselves out of the environment and keep scraping
like
and
the
clawing.
Animal
I think it's
rebels.
Complete denial of the biological reality and no sense of there being a difference in nature. It's like, no big deal. I'm fine here in Los Angeles, I'll be fine on an island.
But no, I mean, look at it this way. It's like now what you have to do is because there's no physical challenges in life anymore, we have to create those
for
ourselves.
You're right. There's something there. But again, Susan.
This is, This is like a dog. You bring it home, you domesticate it. It needs to chase something. It doesn't go on living in a house
to
now. Relax.
But again, the denial to me was so evident when Susan, they go, okay, listen, this will eat your brain. You're going to get these parasites. You're going to have diarrhea for the rest
What's going to eat her brain? What happened?
The water is infected with very dangerous pathogens. And she goes, I've had worse water. No problem. I'll just drink it. It's like,
yeah.
Okay,
like
well, that's
her,
but
way.
See,
I like
don't
that.
Know. Is that denial? Or is that dumb? Because
that's
I mean,
denial.
The thing is,
that's,
like, okay, I
thirsty.
For a long time. I mean, I can't do it anymore. But I used to be really into backcountry camping, and I would go out for like 2 weeks, and I'd carry a 65-pound pack, and I was really into that. We'd fish for our own food and all that. Man doesn't dig a hole and everything.
Wow.
And it's something I've loved since I was a little kid. And but there was never a point in any of that. And I was a pretty accomplished backcountry camper that I was like, I'm just going to drink this water. I mean, it was about education. I knew what could happen, that I could get very sick and I could die.
But she believed it. She didn't believe it.
All
well,
right.
That's because she was an, can no. I say, idiot?
Well, let me say, bring up 2 points. A, you're desperate. I mean, when you're thirsty and nothing's happening and you're
that.
Looking at the water and you've had a long, lucky lineage of drinking crappy water and you're fine.
Well, she's like a lead infested well
move.
And she came out just fine.
Number two, if the producers are smart, they do clear up that water. They tell everybody it's tainted well water. It needs to be eaten.
I mean, I can't imagine that CBS would put themselves in a position.
They avoid liability.
They would put themselves in a position where they would put anybody in jeopardy of dying. I don't believe that.
I think if you have water that's infested with parasites that could kill or maim the person somehow, and you give them no way to sterilize that water, you're going to be liable if something happens to that person.
And you see her with the cup and taking it to her lips. You don't stop.
Nobody stops. Right.
I would say that. That may be a little Hollywood magic.
All right, well said.
Thank you. Rachel?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yeah.
You know what I like about Drew? He's always man enough to admit when I'm right, and so am I. Go ahead, Rachel. And I'm always man enough to admit when you should admit I'm right.
I love having my mind changed.
The self-actualization
that expands
in
my
here
mind,
is
right?
overwhelming.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. I've been on a depot shop for 3 years, and I haven't had a period since, and I just recently was supposed to get my last shot, and I didn't because somebody told me that it's really unhealthy to go that long without a period.
Who told you that? Wait, Rachel, who told you that?
Internet dude.
No, it was a military doctor, actually.
A military doctor told you that?
Yeah.
Well, the Depo-Provera shot, when it is working, stops your period. You do not have periods when you're on. You have nothing but bleeding for the first 3 months, sometimes for the first 6 months, mm-hmm. and then it shuts down. You have none after that.
Right.
That's the way it goes. That's the way it works.
Is that okay?
It's just fine. And in fact, people are moving towards taking the birth control pill continuously. So even when you take the pill, not the shot, but the pill that we're so used to, the people take that continuously so you don't have a period either. There's nothing special about having a period.
And isn't it when you're on a birth control, on some kind of birth control method, that it's not like the blood is building up, but it's not coming out. I mean, you're not creating it.
That's right. You're not creating it because the pill suppresses that from happening. But that the morning after pill is going over the counter. It's getting closer and closer.
Oh, how exciting.
Fantastic.
Oh, my God.
We could get that when I was in college, you know.
All right,
you can get it with a prescription. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be over the counter.
Let's talk to David.
Don't go off your birth control. Don't get pregnant. That's lame.
Yeah. This would be a good PSA for you.
Don't you think?
I believed her. That scared me.
I just get right. I'm not going to couch it in like sparkles and gems. Getting pregnant is lame. If you're not married or in some kind of situation where you can support a kid, it's just lame.
And this is, again, back to the denial of biological reality. Throughout human history, even since the industrial age, 1 out of 5 women died in childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dangerous condition.
Yeah.
Yeah, worse than drinking.
It's also dangerous
water.
To have a kid that you can't take care of.
I like when your old boyfriend, David Schwimmer, would do those PSAs where he'd ask you to talk to your kids.
Yes, David cares. He cares about the kids.
Let me say something to the NBC folks. It's condescending when you have celebrities who don't have kids to tell people to talk to their kids. And by the way, you got to be a little more specific than talk.
Yeah.
Talk to them about drugs, perhaps. It's very condescending.
PSAs are like 15 seconds long. They're trying to like save the world.
I always like it that they have to be in the middle of something. Schwimmer's got to be sitting there just putting the final touches, just putting an article to bed on his laptop, and then look up. Hi. I'm David Schwimmer. You have to be doing something before.
He's just sitting,
the PSA.
He's sitting on the Now You Know stage.
There and deliver. Don't pretend like we interrupted something. You were busy. What happened? A camera crew and a boom mic rolled in. Okay, let me just finish this article later. Hi, I'm David Schwimmer. Please, talk to your kids. Drew, you have kids for years before Schwimmer gave you that advice. It'd be like,
I didn't talk to him before that.
Daddy, am I going to be able to play Little League this year?
Mm.
Daddy, am I going to get?
Mm-hmm.
Daddy, can you help me with my homework? What's 3 times 7?
Gosh.
You sound like Scooby-Doo, right?
That's right.
Yeah, thank Christ Schwimmer's giving us a heads up on
it. I opened up and started speaking immediately when I first saw it.
I'm respectfully abstaining from this conversation.
Kids. Thank God NBC got on top of that.
And
how does that get pitched, by the way? Hey, we got to do some PSAs. I got a theme. How about you open your mouth and something comes out?
Same guys that brought us Hogan's Heroes brought us that.
Oh, Christ almighty. Talk to your kids. How condescending. I don't even have kids. Right. I was ready to kill them. Schwimmer.
Come on.
Does Schwimmer have kids?
No.
All right, then shut up.
But he cares. I mean, I don't have kids.
I love the kids. And by the way, what happened? They should tell us it's coming, because what if we don't have a scratch pad ready to write down these pearls of wisdom? Hold on. What did he say, honey? I don't know. I think he said something about chalk. Oh, Christ, it wasn't that. I knew it. We should have T-boned it so we could figure out what to do with our goddamn kids. Please. This is it. This
the only problem with this argument is that there are so many screwed up kids out there. You think that there are probably people whom a gem such as talk to your kids would probably be a pretty useful piece of information.
I'm sure there's a guy just taking a drag off a crack pipe who just turned the corner because Schwimmer looked up from his laptop. Honey. Honey, come out from the meth lab for a second. Schwimmer said we should start talking to the kids. Well, I thought we were going to beat them and burn them with cigarette butts. No, no, no. It turns out that's wrong.
Well, no, yeah, you can do that, too. Just make sure you talk
to them at the same time.
Honey, I'm going to burn you with something called a Tipperillo right now.
Tipperillo.
Oh, thank Christ.
Newport. You said Newport.
Newport. Newport's a fine cigarette.
Schwimmer's telling us to
maybe
talk to the
merit
kids.
Or a tree.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We got to take a break. Cyber Adams.
No, what called that
back.
Break?
Cyber Adams.
Exciting.
Well, you
we
had...
got the girl with the depo shots. Don't get pregnant. It's lame.
I like that.
Drew, let me just one more quickie. Let's just say your daughter came up and said, like, I want to go ice skating. Can we go ice skating, Daddy?
Mm-hmm.
That was the old Drew. That was pre-Schwimmer, right?
Absolutely.
And then, now what you do, you start using your mouth, right?
I start using my mouth and my tongue. Well, and my vocal cords.
Words coming
it's
out.
It's amazing.
Well,
amazing.
Honey, let's discuss it.
Funny how that works.
Schwimmer ought to cut another ad of other people we could talk to. Grandparents, folks behind the counter at the liquor store. Who else can we talk to, David? Is it just the kids? Now I'm confused. What if the mailman comes by? You allowed to speak to him? How's that work, Drew?
I've always spoken to him.
Drew, it would have been funny if you grunted. All right. Aisha Tyler is here tonight. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Aisha Tyler is on tonight.
Hello.
Swerve, Reckless Observations of a Postmodern Girl is the name of the book. I'll be on Jimmy Kimmel later on tonight, if you want to see that. And, yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I have my DSL went down today. I spent all day working on it. And I would just want to give a shout out to SBC, whose technical people saved my ass.
This was so exciting because it was like kind of geeky and then also kind of ghetto at the same time because you gave a shout out to the SBC technical support.
That's right.
Yeah. Those are my peeps down there at SBC.
Fantastic. Patient that walked me through stuff. It was the best thing. Best computer experience I ever had.
Really?
Yeah.
What about all that porn you downloaded? Not as good as that?
Not as good as the SBC tech people.
No. All right. Did they know who you were?
No,
they treat everyone this
no, way. They didn't know who I was. I didn't, right. No names.
But you dropped the doctor.
You dropped the name?
No.
You dropped
the doctor. No. I just said... They said
people are going to die if my DSL doesn't go back up.
I just expressed how frustrated and crazy it was for me, and they said, all right, just sit back. We'll get you through this.
All right. Jeff Probst in here tomorrow night from Survivor, who... we've never had on this show,
no.
To the best of my knowledge, but evidently a fan of the show. We'll find out. Mm. All right. Oh, hold on. Anderson, you ready to do some cyber, Adam?
I got your back.
And by the way, Jeff Probst being a fan of the show, whenever somebody comes in with that big, you know, sort of announcing that the guy's a great fan, he comes in and goes, how's this work? What happens? What are you guys talking about?
No, it's more like, which one is the doctor?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. I just was on air with Ryan Seacrest with Jeff last Thursday or Friday. He seems like a charming fellow.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Big whoop. All right. There's Cyber Adam. All right, David, you're 25. Here we go.
Yes, sir. Adam, you're both funny and wise. Dr. Pinsky, read your book. I enjoyed it. It changed my opinion of addiction.
That's why you make the big bucks.
Fantastic.
And Miss Tyler, I'm not familiar with your work, but I will be looking into your book, Swerve.
Thank you. Thank you. Check it out.
Swerve.
Good time.
Swerve. I'm writing a story for my creative writing class inspired by Loveline, and I'd like your input on the scenario I present in the story. I've got a basic idea, but I want to hear what you guys think.
I go.
Okay. It's basically the Loveline setup, the names are changed and everything like that. It's a call-in talk show.
Good times.
Why change the names? You don't have to do that.
I felt I didn't want to...
Go ahead.
It turned out to be a bad story. slow day, and then you have an old caller call in who...
That is a cancer, Aisha. She's looking at a vulvar cancer.
Drew brought in this book on reconstructive and plastic surgery of the external genitalia, and it's just I'm never going to sleep again. I think is
all right,
I'm
so
saying.
Go ahead, David. With
yes,
that,
yeah. Shut up, everyone. Talk.
That was a great answer.
We're listening. We're listening.
Go ahead.
Okay. Old caller calls in.
Go ahead.
She's calling to report how she's doing after you told her to leave her abusive boyfriend.
All right.
And she states that she's doing fine, but her boyfriend is with her now, and she's got a gun on him, on her, and he's demanding that you guys tell her to get back with him.
Hey, it takes all kinds.
Okay.
And I wanted to know what your reaction to that sort of scenario would be.
To keep somebody on the line as long as possible and find a way to trace the call, which we've done in the past.
Oh, have you?
Usually we get some information about where you're calling from, so we would immediately get the local police on the line.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And send them out all over the place. And we've been able to do it. We've been able
because
to
somebody
track
makes a
down.
Call like if somebody makes a call like that, they're in a desperate situation.
Yeah, we've been able to track that down. Then I would try to get the guy on the phone,
right,
and talk him down a bit, and we'd call local authorities here also and try to get them, see if they have any negotiating people or somebody that we can get in here.
Okay, I hadn't just thought of that.
And the whole thing would be to keep the thing going as
keep
long as
phone.
Possible. Just keep
right,
him
right.
on the phone. And we would, you know, I doubt a call like that would get on the air. I just think the screeners would pick up on that. But if it got on the air, we'd have to get it off very, very quickly. And understand, and we've had weird stuff happen. If you remember, Fletcher from Pennywise held us hostage here, claiming to have a grenade.
Oh,
and we had
God.
To have the SWAT team in the next room and stuff.
Holy
it was the craziest
Billy
damn
on a
thing.
Stick.
Yeah, it was good times.
That sounds like fun.
Takes all kinds.
Drew masturbated to Thomas the Tank Engine once.
All right, David.
Thank you very much, sir.
There you go. Good
you
time.
Understand why I hate our callers, even the ones that have been raped. All right.
Well,
I'm back.
That's love. That's love.
How'd
right
that
there.
Go?
Don't you know? You were here.
That was Cyber Adam. I went
Cyber
to the bathroom.
I couldn't tell. I'm confused.
Cyber Adam's better?
Cyber
here's
Adam.
My, I'm confused.
Here's what are you going to do?
Cyber Adam is succinct. I would say that about
yeah, a little less. Little less of a blowhard.
If Cyber Adam can draw the same paycheck as Flesh and Blood Adam, I'm not, that's the day I stop showing up.
I understand.
This is my goal. All right. What did Anderson know?
I don't know. You got a cut?
I would have to get a cut of that, though.
Oh, yeah. Anderson, definitely.
He'd be the master seller,
He'd be bumped up from, I think he's in single digits by the hour now, but he'd be definitely well into the double digits.
Yeah.
Well, not that far.
Okay.
That's why I make the big bucks. All right. Mike?
Yes. Longtime fan of y'all's. Aisha, I loved you on Talk Soup.
Thank you so much.
Got a little bit of a problem. I'm 25. I've been married for a year and a half, but I have serious addiction problems with everything. But I've got an addiction to pornography, and I'm obsessed with sex all the time.
So you're an active addict. You're currently using.
Well,
using pornography?
He said he's addicted to lots of things. What are you using?
Well, I'm a 3-year recovering alcoholic.
Got it. Okay.
I've
and how's your drugs, how's your pro, how's
4-year drug under control? I haven't had any drugs in 4 years.
How's your recovery gone? How's your program going?
Good. All of that's going real good.
So you still have daily contact with your sponsor?
No, please.
Yes.
No.
What's
daily
contact. What step are you on?
10.
10.
Hmm. 10 step.
But the problem is, no matter what I try, I just can't get sex off my mind.
Were you sexually abused as a child?
Yes.
Okay.
At the age of 5 by family.
Yeah, and that's sort of where you add sexual abuse to the disease of addiction and you get Mike. That's sort of how that happens. And if you're alcohol recovery or substance, are you in NA or AA?
Both.
Wow. And you have a sponsor in each?
Yes.
Wow. Usually, a lot of NA guys have this problem. So, first of all, you need to maybe do an inventory around this issue with your NA sponsor.
Yeah.
And you might get the big book for SA. It's a white book with a white cover and sort of goes into some of the detail about sexual addictions.
Okay.
That's sort of what I would do. Get more open with your NA sponsor about this.
A little rubber band around the dong you snap it every time you think about beating off. I tried that for a while.
That I have a great marriage. I've been married for a year and a half. I was a believe it or not, I was a virgin until I got married.
Good. Okay.
Well, what are you doing? You beating off a lot? Are you seeing hookers? What are you doing? Phone sex?
Nothing cheating, just masturbation.
Yeah, the having the internet pouring into your computer is like having a crack pipe.
Yeah, that's why Drew went nuts without his DSL line.
That's right. It was
10
tough.
Today.
Because
noon through 5 o'clock is jack off time for Drew.
That's me time.
I just feel very guilty because my wife.
All right. Well, look. She's dynamite lady. Listen. But how often are you beating off?
Every day.
Once a day.
At least.
All right. Well, look, what do you think about this,
Drew?
Is
that crazy?
No,
it's not. That's not that extreme.
It's not. It's more your guilt.
I mean, it does seem a little light.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question on your behalf. I'm going to ask these guys a question, which is, in this situation where he cares about his marriage and he's concerned that, this addiction could jeopardize his marriage, your marriage, I'm talking to you, mm-hmm. should he talk to his wife about it?
All right. Hold on. We got to get to the answer to that. We'll take a break. This is fine. Yeah. Do we involve her or not?
Okay. Good.
Does he cut it out altogether? Aisha Tyler's here tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jeff Probst is in here tomorrow night from Survivor. Tonight, Aisha Tyler is here. Name of the book, Swerve, Reckless Observations of a Postmodern Girl. It is out. Oh, it came out last week.
Came out last Monday. It's been out, and it's actually already a bestseller on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Did really well the first week. So
wow.
So what does that mean? Go buy it before it's all gone.
That's right. they made like 37 of them.
Yeah, and that's it. And
34.
Yeah, and then if you don't buy it now, no.
And that's it. And they'll break the plates, as they say.
Yes.
They'll destroy it. It'll be like I think they did that with the SR-71 Blackbird reconnaissance plane. They destroy the molds.
Or the limited run book on Muhammad Ali. It's just like there's only 1,000,
right.
And that's what you get.
This is what's going on
now,
with this book.
We lost our caller.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sucked.
Yeah.
He went off to masturbate.
And what we were talking about was, first of all, to establish whether, in fact, he was an addict,
mm-hmm.
which was not clear. I mean, he is an addict.
Once a day seemed to me not to be addictive
really,
behavior.
Right. And addictive behavior is defined by consequences. And he was having guilt, but was he really having consequences? And that we were going to try to establish. And the question was, should he talk to his wife about it or not? And my suggestion is, look, just work with your NA sponsor on it, do an inventory, and if it comes to the point where it is important to tell her. My concern is if you just tell her without working it out,
without
doing some process,
that
could kick the door open to his addiction spiraling out of control.
And he feels enabled. He feels like, now that everybody knows,
game
it's fine,
on.
I can just go nuts.
It's no big deal. I don't feel guilty anymore. Nothing restraining this.
I was just going to say, I don't think you should. I just my curiosity came from the idea that maybe if he told her, he might not feel so crazy and guilty and hidden about it, and then he might feel like, he could get help in an open and honest way.
Which is a good point, because when one of the things that addicts do when they feel uncomfortable, guilty, ashamed, whatever, it escalates their behavior, mm-hmm. because they're trying to now manage that feeling too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something to it, but we lost him, so.
All right.
So
go.
He's screwed. Bye.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Take all kinds. But good times, right?
Good times.
Good times.
Good times.
Hey.
Pat, you're 15. What's up?
I got a question. I actually need some advice. So I was at school today, and my girlfriend comes up to me, and she was telling me how she thinks it'd be cool if we had sex in a confessional booth, in a Catholic church.
No, it didn't happen.
No, really.
Bogus.
No, it can't be.
It is.
You guys can think so or whatever, but it's not.
It might have happened in a joking way. It might have been something, a topic of discussion you guys had, but I don't buy that this was something that she seriously wanted you to plan.
Bogus.
No, well, I don't know. I thought it was kind of crazy, too, and, it kind of freaked me out, because, I'm Catholic, but I don't go to church, often, only when I have, when I'm at my mom's house.
Yeah.
We're intrigued by your persistence, Pat.
Yeah, I do like the way you're pushing forward here.
Yeah, but we still don't believe it.
It's sort of like on American Idol when they tell them to get out and they keep singing.
But what's the question? Should you or should you not do it?
Exactly. That's why it's a bogus call.
Question.
No.
What?
Why? I mean, the question. The answer.
There's no
be,
question.
The answer
There's no
to the question.
Question
would be no. I think.
Yeah. The answer, Pat. The answer to your question is yes. Forge ahead. Yes. Have sex in the confessional booth. Perfect idea. What? Yeah. There's no question.
That's an easy question to answer. You can answer that yourself.
All right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just need advice.
Yeah.
Right, you just wanted to invite some discussion so you could get a little hot dialogue going before you pan over.
Here's the keys to bogus calling, Pat. You have to, something's got to be at stake.
Right.
There has to be a question.
There has to be something you genuinely need an answer to, not
people,
just a statement. They're making a statement.
They make announcements.
Yeah, you're announcing
they don't have
something.
Questions.
Right.
That's right. All right.
You're announcing your girlfriend came up with a bizarre idea.
Dear
That's
Penthouse
right.
Forum, I never thought it happened to me.
And by the way, it's not. And when something is a genuinely totally bizarre idea, the question's not, is that a bizarre idea?
Right. Kyle?
Hey.
Hey, you're 16. What's up?
Yeah. Man, first, I want to say, Adam, you're so cool, man. You're like my idol. Love
Thanks,
you.
Buddy.
Now I'm scared.
Yeah.
Okay. My girlfriend? I got another question about girlfriend. She's, like, always wanting sex.
How old is she?
16.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And,
all right.
I mean, yeah, at first it was cool, you know, but, like, it's starting to disrupt my, like, life, you know? Mm. Like, school, taking away from school time and all that, so.
Does she have some issues? Was she sexually abused?
You know, I don't really know. I know she doesn't go to school that much. You know, she cuts a lot and all that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I just want to know, like, what I should do about it, what I should tell her or something.
Well, she may need a little bit of help here. Maybe there's something more going on, certainly more than you can do.
Kyle seems perfectly capable.
To do the therapy. Yeah, that's what he said. Years of training, years of work.
How often does she want sex?
You know, sometimes, like, you know, on easy days, it would be, like, twice. Sometimes you get up
easy
to
days. Once you're letting off easy,
right?
Yeah. Sometimes you get up to 4 or 5.
Ooh.
Do you guys like? Are you guys friends? Do you talk about stuff, or are you just always like doing it?
No. We don't talk much. I mean,
you just have sex all the time.
We go out and stuff. You know, we go on dates
together or like with other people.
Not much time left in the day. 5 times.
Right. That's exhausting.
Yeah, they got to get to it.
Well, I guess my question is like, you know, is this about this girl being a sex addict, or is this about the fact that this couple has like no intimacy that isn't sexual?
Well, this
and she's looking for intimacy, any kind of intimacy at all.
Yeah.
So she'll take it sexually. She'll take anything she can get.
No, that's
becoming quite cathartic.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it sounded thinky. The guy with the degree is naysaying.
It's just not the way things get played out.
But I mean, like, if this is a girl who has intimacy issues, or she's not getting enough intimacy in her, like in other parts of her life, this is the only way she can feel close to somebody.
Yeah, she will do that, and she will accept an abandoning guy just using her for sex, but she won't demand it 5 times a day.
Okay, so I guess the flip is, if this guy was being able to be like a friend
fact,
to her and intimate with her in other ways, maybe she wouldn't want to have so much sex.
No, because unless she were a sex addict or sexually abused, she wouldn't be up for five. She couldn't really imagine 5 times a day.
That seems like a working girl
right.
situation.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the other thing, too. When a woman's needs aren't being met outside of the bedroom, where she needs a little more hand-holding and a little how was your day, they don't pay you off.
I agree with
more
you.
Sex
I agree
yeah,
with you.
Sex.
In
you
every other,
off.
I agree. I agree with you. Being one of them, except for in the situation if this girl has some kind of crazy background where she's all messed up in the head, and for her, maybe she was abused, and sex was affection she got from somebody in her life.
It's true, but the sexual abuse creates a trauma that is never fulfilled, that is constantly, repeatedly acted out, which is sex.
Mm-hmm.
If she merely had an unavailable parent or whatnot, then she will accept sex as a substitute for intimacy.
But she wouldn't be driving
from
hard.
An unavailable guy. Yeah, this guy would be like pushing her away
all
or whatever.
Right, so
he wouldn't be cooperating with 5 times a day.
What does a guy do? Does he sort of impose limits?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But she'll experience that as abandonment and get a little crazy on him. But he needs to start.
But
know,
like he shouldn't just say, I'm not going to sleep with you. He should say, like, this is a, like, you have a problem. It shouldn't just be like, you know,
I
can't do this for you anymore. But like, hey, I love you or care about you, or I at least think you're mildly not, you know, annoying.
He's 16, so this guy's like, I talked to Dr. Drew, and he said your snatch was effed up. And like, your crotch is nutty. And like, so
don't
he
say
said
that.
Like, he said, like, you could give me
don't say
oral.
Your crotch was nutty.
He could give me oral, but I should only bang you, like, a couple times a day or when I'm feeling.
Maybe
or he
could
said
just,
I could have the TV on.
Maybe you could just say, hey, I like you a lot, and I like having sex with you, but 5 times a day seems like maybe you need to see somebody because you have a sex addiction.
That's right. It's just it's more than I can keep up with. It's not natural. It's a hard
don't
for me.
Tell her crotch is nutty.
Yeah.
Aisha Tyler said you should have sex with somebody else if I wasn't able to give it to you good enough. And True said...
Don't say that.
I know, but you know it's a disaster with the 16-year-old.
Oh, yeah, especially 16-year-old guy. 16-year-old girl might talk for days. And, yeah.
Here's what you need to do. And Aisha, I'm going to...
What would your dad say about that?
My dad would say, keep your grades and your draws up.
But now, what would he say before Schwimmer talked to him?
He would say, brr, brr, brr. Mm. My dad was always a very communicative guy.
What did your dad say? How much is this going
to
cost?
I think the appropriate thing would have to Aisha do that. What's it called? You need to know.
Yes.
And just have her give a few aphorisms from her dad.
Drop a few bombs. Ting 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 ting. Keep your grades and your draws up.
Just like Daddy. What's your dad's name?
Just like my father's
what's
name is Jim.
Just like Daddy Jim, you say.
Is that
talk
series?
But honestly,
when you think about it, it's beautiful in its simplicity. Keep your grades and your draws up. I mean, that's it. That was the rule. That was the driving principle of my whole childhood.
We wouldn't be making fun of it if it had been you saying that. You know what I mean?
No, I know.
We're
it was heavy duty. It was true. I mean, that's...
Talking about David Schwimmer's lame PSA about talking to your kids, by the way. Is that called You Need to Know?
The more you know. The more you know. I don't think you should blame Schwimmer for that. I'm sure that somebody wrote that for him.
Of course. Yeah. It's the retardedness of television.
I don't know. I saw the commercial. He was clearly working on his laptop when the cameras came up to him.
And so he just came, what was on his mind just popped in.
Caught him off guard.
Yeah. You had to say something.
Yeah. You need to know.
Blaming the guy.
There you go.
He cares about the children.
Trevina,
sure. He has a whole brood of zero at home.
Well, who knows?
Well, but I mean, really, like, don't you think a childless person could care about kids?
They could, but just parroting back lame advice about how to be something you're not, and it just sounds, like I said, insultingly obvious. Talk to your kids. Just that's a slap in the face. That's all I'm saying. That's an attack.
For those of us that are doing the hard work of parenting. Trevina.
That's right. Yeah. Trevina.
Yes.
25?
Yes.
What's up?
I was in foster care from the age of 8 to 18 and was sexually abused. And also, when I got out and got on my own, I turned 21 and got raped.
I'm starting to wonder if any foster child has not been, you know, if the sexual abuse is sort of always part of the foster care system?
Well, I think it's probably the people that get into foster care are people that are abusing the system. They get money for taking care of kids.
Yeah, but then they sexually abuse the kids, too. It's okay. Well, I'd rather just take the money. It'd be fine.
Right.
Well, maybe if they were up front, maybe that could be another Schwimmer PSA. Look, if you're planning on sexually abusing your kids and being a foster parent, we'll just give you the money up front.
Yeah, just take the money and go.
Yeah, so everyone just raise their hand. Yeah, I was thinking of sodomizing the youngster. All right, here's your cat.
No, I'm just saying, let them abuse the system and like not feed the kids. That's fine. Just don't sexually abuse them.
Well, you also.
But you know, I'm sure that sex abusers think, "Oh, free kids."
I know. Well, that's
you also wonder if a lot of the kids that are being introduced into the system weren't sexually abused.
Already?
Is the reason that they're being brought into the system, and as we know. Those people, not that it's their fault at age 8, but that's something that that's a train that gets rolling.
Yeah.
And it's almost like if it ain't the parent, it's going to be another one of the siblings or foster kids or someone at school.
What's the question?
I was wondering if that was like some of the reasons why I have a hard time committing to a relationship.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
It will affect your ability to have relationships
but
profoundly.
Just getting put into foster care at age is traumatizing enough.
Yes.
It's very hard to trust people when you've been in a situation where everybody that you trust hasn't been worthy of your trust.
It affects your brain development. We're really beginning to get more insight into how the brain develops and what you need to have a functioning central nervous system that allows you to be available to a real relationship.
Hold on. Aisha, please stop doing origami.
I'm sorry. It's like I'm so upset.
Now, Adam, pay attention here.
Yes.
Aisha and I are sort of strung the same way. You notice that?
Yes.
The central nervous system wise.
Punch your mic a few times.
Yes.
He's building a swan out of paper over there.
He thinks that when people do that, it's like it's intended for him to upset him.
No.
Because it's in his field of view. You're doing it volitionally to upset him.
Untrue.
Meanwhile,
it's just how we're
meanwhile,
wired.
He's doodled a map of the Western world
exactly.
on that piece of paper over there.
I've
Have you solved the grand unified theory, Adam?
It's very disturbing
you're
to
lucky.
Me.
I don't know what that means. I quietly doodled over here where Drew has actively punched the mic four times tonight. That's all I'm saying.
So, Trevina.
Yes.
It's really great that you realize that about yourself, because that's, I think, a good step in the right direction, that you understand that what's happened to you in the past is affecting how you relate to people right now.
Right.
I'm sure Dr. Drew will probably tell you how to get on the path to getting better, but it's really good that you already understand that about yourself.
Yeah, yeah, maybe get some.
I know when I do get in relationships, I always pick, like, the really worst ones because I know mm-hmm. it won't last, and I felt like they would be more comfortable to be in a relationship with someone who would treat me really terrible, and eventually I'd get tired of them and then make them
yeah.
leave. Or,
all those rationalizations you have about it don't even matter. The fact is that's what you're attracted to is the bad guys.
All right. Well, let's see if we can tie this up in a nice package, which is for what you've been through, you're remarkably well put together.
Incredible.
You're having some insights. This is a good thing. You're not just sort of blindly rolling forward, strung out on drugs and spitting out kids.
And, like, you're seeing the pattern that you're in. I mean,
right.
I think that's like a 99% of fixing it is, like, seeing that you're in a pattern.
Yeah. Okay.
The 5%.
Next.
Okay. I'm very optimistic.
Moving towards fixing it. Moving towards fixing it.
99% out of, let's say, 400.
400. Okay, there 400. You go. There you go.
All right. So, Trevina, can you get any counseling for this past abuse?
I had a lot of counseling when.
All right, well, and maybe that's why you're as bad as you
right.
could have been.
You're on your way, so it's time to get some more.
Get some more. Don't have any kids. Get your feet.
Don't have any kids.
Get your feet on the ground and keep looking at the stars.
The message yeah. I would give everybody.
Whatever.
Are you reading something out of a book now?
Here's my
Casey Kasem's book.
What's it called? You need to know.
The yeah. more you know.
The more you know.
The more you know.
The more you know. Message I would like to give out is that hey, treatment works.
Yeah.
And that's the message that people don't seem to get. It's that you can access treatment, and treatment works.
And you can stay that's in fine. It. I mean, it's not something that you just do for a couple of days till you get better, and then you go sprinting off down there.
And somehow people understand if they get a knee mangled in a motorcycle accident, it takes many months, maybe mm-hmm. years to rehabilitate.
Mm-hmm.
The brain is even slower recovering.
But, Drew, let me ask you this. Let's say Schwimmer didn't come out with a PSA directed toward counselors to speak
To their patients?
Yeah. I mean, what might that sound like if I came in and said, look, I can't stop living in the past. I can't stop blaming my parents. What should I do?
Mm. Mer?
Hmm?
Mer.
Mm-hmm.
Time is up.
That's it. All right.
Hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And oh, yeah, what? How come we only get 50 minutes on the hour? There you go. All right.
But I will also say, Trevina, that the fact that you understand, you need to also, you probably already understand this, or maybe you don't, that like the things that happened to you have nothing to do with you as a person. You're not a bad person because of those things. I know this is like very easy stuff to say, but I mean, you know, you see a lot and you need to like hold on to that stuff and stop being in situations with people that suck. You know what I mean? You're worth more than that. I know I'm sounding like a combination of Dr. Phil and like the back of a tea bag, but you know, I mean, the fact that you know that these things happen to you and they're affecting the way you behave now means that you can change them, and you probably need help to do that.
No, you
but
don't sound like Phil, because Phil would say you just need to choose to make a difference. Like you can't choose. Your brain doesn't have those mechanisms in place.
But just being aware of it, I think, is a good step.
Yes,
and I think,
it absolutely
and you know, and maybe get people around you that aren't guys. I mean, if you keep picking these awful guys. Pick other people in your life that you're not sleeping with that are great and love you and treat you wonderfully and have your, you know, spend time with them.
Next time Adam takes a night off, will you come in here and sit in for him?
I'd be happy to.
We had David Allen Greer do it a couple nights ago, and he saw your name up there, and he goes, we have to have a new show. It's Dr. Drew and his two black friends. I'll ask her when she comes out.
I'd love to do Dr. Drew and his two black friends. I'll come up with some more aphorisms like, you know, you're so crazy. I don't know. I'll come up with some stuff that I can say on the show.
Yeah, you'd have to black it up.
Yeah, I know. It's very upsetting when people, like, you know, they hear me on the radio and I sound like a 40-year-old white woman in a dirndl skirt and glasses and then they see me on the street.
Yeah,
it's very upsetting. I know.
Telling camping stories is not going to cut it.
I know. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying black people, we can go into the wilderness. You know, we can set down our salty snacks and move out of the, you know, the perimeters of the urban center.
Yeah.
Oh,
we can
no
do it.
You didn't. Oh, no, you didn't.
That's more what we're looking
yes,
for.
Yes, I snowboard, and I go camping, oh, and no. I do, yes, no. I do.
I have to recast this.
Yeah, I know, it's fine. No, it's fine. I can black it up. I can urban it up. I'd be going snowboarding, it'd be crazy.
That's pretty white, too.
I'd be pulling like a 280 stale fish, all crazy whack with the flip. All right, I'm sorry. I went to college. Don't be angry with me. Be angry with my parents.
All right.
They made me go there because my dad said to me, as we all know now, keep your grades and your draws up. Yeah,
well, she did. Right. She did both.
And this is the result.
That's there right.
I'm a childless girl with an Ivy League education who apparently, even when she tries to sound black, cannot. And I'm so sorry about that. I'm going to take some classes.
Don't apologize.
Trevina will go to therapy, Aisha's going to go to the black it up classes.
No, you're just going to redeem it up with that show we're going to have.
Okay.
They have a black Berlitz, like a black Litz, you know. Where
a black Litz, yes, and some tapes.
Give me some tapes.
No, I saw Ebonics on the list of languages that they.
Oh,
that
okay.
They, it's been. It's one of those things where, like, if you don't know it, you can't learn it. It's like, you know, if you're not a Shaolin monk, you can't become a Shaolin monk. You're just born to the Shaolin way. You know right. what I mean? It always feels false afterwards if you learn it.
Or the Wu-Tang Clan.
You're born to the Wu-Tang Clan way or not at all. That's the way it is. I am in a hip-hop video right now. I don't know if you know how hard I roll. I'm in a Rockefeller Family video right now.
Wow, really?
With Kanye West and Jamie Foxx and the Twista video. Those are all people of my tribe.
Kevin?
It's very exciting.
Kevin? All right.
Wait, I think he's asleep. Kevin?
Yeah.
There he is.
What's happening?
He was asleep.
Earlier tonight, my girlfriend and I were fooling around and, I guess she wanted to feel, you know, or see what it felt like if I put my penis inside of her, you know?
Yeah.
How did that actually go? What was that conversation like?
Well, I guess we were caught up in the moment.
Right.
Yeah, and you were like,
all right, well, that's an interesting way to put it.
Right.
Keep going.
Nothing happened, you know, like I didn't have an orgasm or anything, but like I was wondering if there was any like dangers and, you know, like maybe getting her pregnant, because I know there's like
lots of dangers.
Yes, you can get somebody pregnant just by breaking the plane of the vagina. There's stuff at the tip of your penis that sometimes has sperm, so mm-hmm. why you got to put your condom on every time.
Not only that, but you could. If I mean, are you both virgins?
Yeah.
Well, they're not now.
Well, no, they're both virgins.
Really. What?
Right.
She just wondered what it was like to have a penis inside of her.
It was literally just like one time in and then brought it back out.
Do you and this girl want to be pregnant? I mean, there's no halfway in.
Right.
It's in or not in, and once it's in, you can get pregnant every time.
Yeah. Well, look, let's not be ridiculous here. if you put your penis in somebody once and pull it out, you don't have as great a likelihood of getting them pregnant as if it's in there for half an hour and you have an orgasm.
That's
half
right.
an hour? What planet are you on?
Planet two, unrealistic time.
2 minutes, and you have an orgasm. Yeah, yeah.
It feels like half an hour.
I know. You don't like working, I know.
What I'll do is I'll put it in right at the end of a half-hour sitcom. So it's like, well, I made it through the sitcom. Really, it's the last break. They were just wrapped. They were rolling credits before you got in. But it still seems like, well, I did it for the entire, according to Jim.
That would make it feel like longer than a half hour.
Yeah.
That's why he chose that one.
All right. So here's the thing. This is what happens when you're sort of young and, you know, you're
retarded,
virgin and you're feeling your way through life and all that kind of stuff. You got to wear a condom if you're going to have sex.
And putting a penis in a vagina is having sex, not virginity.
There's a very good... we're not saying it's likely that she's pregnant, but there is the technical, mathematical possibility that she is. And I don't know how long ago we did this. When did he do this? Earlier tonight?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, the morning after. Wouldn't be a bad idea.
Get that morning after pill, get on the internet, find that, and all that good stuff.
And just go buy some condoms.
Trojan condoms. 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE is your number to call to find a pharmacy nearby. They'll give
that's
you that
catchy.
Pill.
Yep. All right.
Don't get pregnant. It's lame. If you're going to build a cyber Aisha, I want that quote to be in there.
Yeah. Well,
don't
we might.
Get pregnant,
if you settle
it's
into a... Drew and his two black friends.
Yeah, we use that all the time.
We'll be using that all the time.
Because if you just have one, it's like an aberration. But if you have two, you're down.
And let me
like
tell you something. this.
You need at least two black people to form a posse.
You're not finding your blackness with us because you're sandwiched in between two pieces of white bread. When you
don't think I look blacker by contrast?
You look blacker, but you're not finding
not
that
finding,
spirit.
Finding, okay.
When Dag rolls into the studio, you will find your blackness.
Well,
he
Dag,
will bring it out
Dag
in you.
Actually comes with like a cloud of blackness just kind of floating all
yes,
around him.
It's
he's
Afro
got black. Yeah, he's got extra blackness like in his pockets in the trunk of his
That's
car.
That's right. He will force you to be blacker.
I'm here to say that there is a diversity of blackness out there.
Yes.
And I am of the school.
Yeah, this is what our show is about, right? Here.
Yes.
Keep
there's
going.
A diversity of blackness out there. Blackness is not just one thing.
That's
we don't
right,
all have
right.
to be sporting
That's,
the gold
sell
chains
it,
and the
it.
Droopy pants. I put forth that the new age of blackness has a college degree, drives a car that costs more than $40,000 a year, pays taxes, owns real estate, engages in snow sports, and pronounces their words correctly on a regular basis. Ladies and gentlemen, who's with me?
You have arrived,
hey,
sister.
All right, I can't even
It's me, that. Colin Powell, and that guy at Harvard who keeps teaching the classes on rap music. What's his name? He was in the Matrix movies. What's that guy's name?
I don't know, but and by the way, I know we're...
I like that.
Yeah. I know the black folk have collected the Colin Powells and maybe the Tiger Woods of the world.
We'll take Condoleezza on odd days. Yeah. We'll take Condoleezza on odd days.
Colin, I don't know how. I don't. Are both his parents black?
He's biracial.
He's biracial.
Mm-hmm, he's biracial.
Yeah, and you know Tiger Woods has an Asian mother. I mean, why do you guys get to claim? You know
we
what
have
I'm
so
saying?
Little, Adam.
Okay, so we'll get... Okay,
really?
But here's the thing.
I mean, you've got the real estate and the whole voting thing and the street lights and the police.
I grew
so
up.
Let's claim the brown people. Can we have the brown people?
All I'm saying is we should be able to go like, all right, you get Tiger Woods... we're going to need Colin Powell.
Yeah, you can take Colin. I'm fine. You can have Colin, and you can have that guy who runs the FCC, because I think he's biracial as well. But
we don't want him.
You know, nobody wants
no,
him.
No. You got to claim them all. That goes to this diversity thing we're going for.
Yes.
The African-American diversity.
Yes, all but right. The point is, you know, there's. I mean, I will say, like, in all seriousness, there's this, like, tyranny of culture where it's like, you have to be one way to be black.
Yeah.
And coming up when, I mean, you know, I was
this
always
is our
kinda,
show.
Yeah, I was always put down for, like, you know, not being, like, hard enough. And I would love it if, you know, you'd be down if you like went to college, man, and didn't get pregnant. That was cool, you know, and you to just, you know,
we will be.
I love hip hop.
We'll promise to be colorblind here, but not so colorblind that I start making racial jokes because that happens sometimes too. You know what I mean? Like you don't know.
Well, every once in a while, you
Pollock
forget yourself.
Eyes in the thing.
I'm not sure
about
there.
The blacks. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Aisha Tyler is here tonight. Don't judge, just read.
Name
the new book,
Swerve. Read the book, Swerve.
And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Who's in tomorrow night? Yeah, Jeff Probst in here tomorrow night. Going to talk about Survivor. Aisha Tyler is in here tonight. And the book is called Swerve, Reckless Observations of a Postmodern Girl. Drew has thumbed through the book and has been entertained. Yes, sir.
I love it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's funny. And if I did say it myself. But I wanted to write a book that was really, really funny. It's not like what comedians typically do, which is put their act in a book.
Lots of sex in here.
There's a lot of stuff about sex in there.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stuff about sex. Lots of stuff about sexuality. I wanted it to be a really, really funny, fun book to read and a conversational book. But there's also some issues. There's some stuff about... You know, hip-hop videos and popular culture
and curvy
reality
girls.
Shows and curvy girls and body image. But it's also a book I think that guys really like. A lot of guys have read it because it's, you know, there's stories about going to strip clubs and me getting bikini waxes. And
well, if we can beat off to it. But
well, you know, honestly, must you beat off all the time to everything? Because it just gets to be, you know.
What are
like
you saying? I
don't know. What am I saying?
Hold on, please don't interrupt while I'm beating off.
I'm just saying your right hand is starting to resemble a claw, Adam.
Well, that shows how much you know because I jack with the left. Right is remote hand.
That's the one that looks like a cylinder.
Yeah. You'll know which hand I use because when I travel, I keep it a Crown Royal sack. And then I have
actually travel separately.
And then you rub it in cream every night so that it stays supple.
Well, I don't rub it in.
Never,
I soak it in cream.
Take it out. What are you talking about?
Very carefully roll the sack off.
Adam
the hand.
Won't shake hands. He just bows so that he doesn't sully his gorgeous man's.
Yeah, I've had it insured with Lloyd's of North Hollywood. It's a different company.
It's a guy that you gave $20 to.
A guy named Lloyd who lives out in Lancashire. Yeah. All right, let's keep
right by
on
that place with the giant donut.
Keeping on. I was just thinking to myself with books and reading. Remember how I didn't read before?
How it's hard,
Drew?
And stuff?
Yeah.
With the advent of TiVo.
You still don't read.
I don't even
yeah.
read street signs now.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, I got to tell you, like, done. I read a lot in college, and then I got out and I was working, and I felt like reading was such a chore. It was like a job I had to do. Yeah, and so I, and then now, I sort
it's
of.
A pleasure now.
Yeah, like, it's
it?
A joy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can't. Like, I take him into the bathroom,
yes,
my
yes.
legs are falling asleep on
yes.
the toilet. Like,
yes.
I can't stop. So I think if you just got back into it, Adam, you would just start.
No,
I love
never
it.
Read.
I believe it.
You
points,
never read. You never. So back into it is not relevant.
You know,
I'm going to do. My next book's going to be a pop up, which I think would be geared perfectly towards
you.
Yeah, and put it out on TiVo, and then we can talk. True, you know, I think people think I'm kidding when
I
explain to them that
I
never read a book.
Yeah.
Don't read.
You know,
what,
I don't. It's not
read.
That I think you're kidding. It's just that reading is so awesome.
Yeah.
Do
somebody,
I, now, do I sound like a
the
More You Know commercial now?
Adam,
reading is awesome.
Adam is a victim of LA Unified School System.
Yeah.
I mean a victim.
Yeah.
And as a result, ain't no reading.
Just hates reading.
No,
just,
no.
Don't, never, no.
It's not a matter
never
of
read.
Hating it. It's just don't do it.
It's just not in your life.
No.
Not, never did.
Never
not
read.
Can't.
What?
Well, I can read, yeah.
A little bit now.
Oh, how
but
dare
in terms
you,
of sitting down and reading a book, it'd be a chore for you.
Yeah. It'd be painful.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
That is because that
right.
system didn't.
Yeah. Public schools. I have actually do a whole, there's a whole chapter in there. The Uppity Bitch Paradox is about how I went to private
school.
So if
you, the reading just comes in. So you're just soaking
well,
it up.
Well, you just love it, yeah.
But if you had to do the, if the reading had to be a process for you.
Yeah. Now, I mean, there's a whole thing in there about how public schools essentially cater to the least common denominator, how they treat you like an idiot until you feel like an idiot and you feel angry and then you don't even want to kind of pursue
they
anything that's
you,
meaningful.
They make you think
yeah.
you're an idiot.
And then I tell this whole story about how when I went and I ended up in public school, I got like yelling matches with my teachers constantly because I just felt like they were treating everybody in the room like we were jackasses, and I was always getting thrown out of
well,
class
most,
for yelling
most
at
of
my
us
teachers.
Were. I got to be honest.
Well, but you, the thing you, is, you wouldn't have been if people treated you like, you know, you had something to say, you had an idea. Yeah. You know, kids are just treated like they're dummies to be kind of herded here and there.
How long were you in public school?
For 4 years, by 8th grade and then the 10th through the 12th grade.
Wow.
And I was just lucky that I had gone to a great school and kind of had my own study skills and kind of knew, you know, a little bit about what I wanted to do. But, I mean, I was constantly being thrown out of class in public school because I was like, you know, we're not retarded. You know, and they'd be like, keep it down, raise your hand, shut up, march in a line, bah, you know.
Wow.
And I hated it, yeah. So I write about that because it was just, you know, and that's the thing. I think kids in these schools, really smart kids get frustrated and they start to act out. And then for them, school's just a waste of time. Whereas if anybody just like took an interest in them and spent some time like telling them your ideas are important, what you have to say is important, kids wouldn't be calling you on the phone talking about how asking a question about how my girlfriend wanted to feel like it felt, and now I don't know, could she get pregnant? It's like, you know the answer to that question, dude.
Well, not if you went to LA Unified. I wasn't that smart, quite honestly. It wasn't.
You were
wasn't
made,
underachieving.
No.
Oh, you're incredibly intelligent.
You were not given the skills you needed to keep.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. It's not about your mind. You know,
well,
it's just about your
to
ability
school,
to express
though.
Yourself.
Yes, it could have had everything to do with school. They didn't give you the skills.
Yeah.
I want everybody to know that Dr. Drew has on a lovely pair of UGG boots.
That's right.
I just want to say he's quite stylish. I mean, him and Cameron are just rocking the UGGs and looking quite fly.
Let's address that for 1 second because I happen to have some UGGs as well.
You normally wear them.
And I normally wear them, but I did Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight.
Yes.
And 12:06, I believe it comes on. And I'm wearing a suit, but we always dress in our pajamas, which includes the UGGs.
Why wouldn't?
And I find myself flopping around in these UGGs because I dress like a homeless person. And
a homeless girl.
Homeless woman, yeah.
Okay, yes.
I thought I made that clear.
Yeah, okay, good.
The point is everyone has been looking at me going, you know, star effort, you know, where'd you get those? Mr. Trendy, what'd you do, open a People magazine, see
the
UGGs. Cameron
yeah,
Diaz,
were they given
UGGs,
to you guys?
And,
yeah.
Well, Drew has been sporting the UGGs for a number
years.
Of
years.
Doctor's just rocking the UGGs. I mean, he's rocking them hard. Is
more
what I'm
than
saying.
More than 8 years, yeah. And I've had mine for a couple of years, and because Drew inspired me, and mm-hmm. they weren't that popular. Now I feel like I have to defend myself when
yeah.
I wear them. That's
yeah.
the
that's
problem.
The problem with a trend is all of a sudden, you know, you're not a pioneer anymore.
Yeah.
I refuse to. I don't have any UGGs. I have some little clogs that are UGG-like. That I'm rocking.
If there are some other slipper-like shoe that somebody would send me that I could
yes,
wear out of doors,
I have some amazing. There's something they're like called like Run Dogs or Big Dogs or Raw Dogs or something, and they're like UGG clogs, and they're dope as hell.
Oh yeah,
I'm not sure
if that's warm enough. They have no heel, right?
No, but they're but they're full of lambskin, and there's puppies in there and kittens and stuff. They're really warm.
Yeah, they have to kill like 30 kittens in one shoe.
Just a whole basket of kittens in each shoe. I mean, how can that not be nice? You stick your foot into a basket of kittens. How can that not feel good?
Jason.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
You're 22. What's up?
I've been with this girl about 8 months, and it's starting to get pretty serious. But she's been with a lot more people than I have, and we live in a small town, so it kind of comes up a lot. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if it's something that I'm going to get over, or that I should get over.
I'm just imagining a scene from like Best of Show.
What scene are you talking about?
With Eugene
Levy's
wife keeps running into people.
Oh, right,
sex.
Right. Yeah. Or Boogie Nights. Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
Here's the truth about this. You will get over it.
Yeah.
It's not flipping a switch. It's just sort of it'll slowly bleed out of you over the course of years. If you stay together for that period of time, if you're in an environment where you see somebody she slept with every other day, or you work with this person, or this person delivers your groceries, or picks up your garbage, this is going to slow down the healing process.
How many guys are we talking about here? That's another assessing with her.
She's been like 7 or 8. I've been with like 3.
No. You'll get over
that's
it.
That's nothing.
You get over it.
I mean, unless you live in like a Himalayan yurt. That's 7 or 8 people's
number. You're living in a yurt.
Not quite that bad.
Okay.
All right.
You'll
she's banging
fine.
A
you know,
Sherpa.
I mean, you know, be a big man. You love her. You like her. You like having her around. I mean, people have sex, you know?
You're just jealous.
But here's the thing.
Of him.
He is.
Yeah,
here's
don't
the
be jealous,
though. At 22, it's a biological event for a guy.
Yes.
It just is.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If you didn't run into one of her exes, you would get drunk, open the scrapbook, and start looking through her senior photo album and start pointing at guys. This is what 22-year-old guys do.
28, you're over that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you
over.
Start. Yeah,
you,
because you're
yeah, you don't,
because
you don't ask at 28.
You're waiting to die.
Oh, is that the line? Is that when you start waiting to die?
It's,
at 28?
It's not that you've become mature. It's that you stop caring.
You stop wishing to live,
and you're just looking forward or backward as it is to the miserable
just,
and inevitable.
Well, you're
end.
Tired. Your testosterone levels are falling.
You shift your focus from partners that your wife has had to who's on your lawn and what are they doing?
Kids on skateboards.
Slow it down. Yeah,
and keep and turn down that crazy music and you're spinning hubcaps.
Your number one pastime becomes walking around your neighborhood, and any car that goes by faster than 8 miles an hour, you give the horrible stink eye to. Like, what are you,
mad
some
man.
Kind of maniac? Escape
do you remember the day that you passed? Like, I'm like, ooh, too fast. I don't remember when that happened, but I turned it to my mother. That's awful.
Start calling people mister. Slow it down, mister. Slow it down there, Bob.
Hey there, kid.
Yeah, you. Yeah, hey, why don't you scram or skidoo or 22 skidoo? You got mud on my raccoon coat.
Raccoon coat. Oh.
Yeah, that's
and
what
his
happens.
Ugg boots.
Yeah, so 22 though, you got a good
got
five,
energy.
You
17 got good... to 22, you got energy.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it takes a good 6 or 8 years to run that down after
right.
22.
Right, and maybe getting out of the smallish town. I don't know
what's on the
docket, but maybe you should think about that if you're
got
thinking
a fast
about it anyway.
Car.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, well, slow it down if you're driving through me or Aisha's neighborhood. I'll tell you that right now. Beat it.
It's because I'll throw something.
I really do. I will pass people on my street, and they give this look like they're walking in their entry hall to the bathroom, and I pass them in my car. Like,
in their living room.
What is this guy doing? What is he trying to? It's like, it's a street, you idiot!
But then when it's you, you're raising your cane, and you're throwing your mug of coffee into the street.
Oh, I'll reach in and grab my lower dentures and throw it at the kid's
God damn you, kid.
I really just like the indignant look of... what is this? What should I be doing, you old coot? Pushing the car up the hill? What would you like? Me run out in front of the car and lay out cones or velvet rope?
I love how you just completely flip sides of this argument.
I'm mad at both of us.
You're like on every angle of the argument.
Yeah.
Slow it down. Speed it up. God,
I don't. Yeah. I really would like you to get out, pick up your car, carry it past them, and then set it back down again.
Yes.
And
see, Adam doesn't give that. Although he wants them to slow down, he doesn't give that madman look.
No,
like just, they're crazed.
He just gives them the cock, the
he
eye,
just gives
cocked
them,
eye.
No, he gives them, well, hey, cut it out.
Hey,
knock
kids.
It off.
No, so the, you with your hot rods and your craziness.
The reality is, I love a ballsy maneuver on the road.
Yeah,
I love it. I love it when the signal turns green, the guy hooks the quick left in front of of traffic. That's
well, it's entertaining if nothing
it's
else.
It's nice. I say, here's the guy's pushing. Yeah. He's moving.
He's living on the edge.
Aisha Tyler here tonight. Name of the book, Swerve, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Aisha Tyler is our guest tonight.
Good evening.
Swerve, name of the book, Reckless Observations of a Postmodern Girl. Jeff Probst in here tomorrow night from Survivor. And back to the phones we go. Cliff.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, hey, you're 17. What's up?
Yeah, I'm 17.
I'm not
sure. Dude, I was about ready to hang up. I fall asleep on the phone. I'm so glad. First of all, Adam, awesome guy.
Great.
Drew, you there?
Yeah.
Drew, you...
No, I went home early.
I listen to you guys every night.
Thanks,
Aisha.
Buddy.
Aisha, right? Aisha Tyler?
Yeah, it's Aisha.
The most gorgeous black woman I've ever seen in my life.
Well, that's a wonderfully qualified compliment.
You and Beyonce
compliment.
Are up there at the top of the list.
Oh, thank you.
Very true.
It's nice company.
First of all, I wasn't molested by my dad. I said that to get on the show.
All right. Fair enough.
Come here and give me a hug.
Yeah. Every hour.
No, but man, me and my friend Zach have been listening for the past hour and 45 minutes.
It's been on hold for 99 minutes.
Yeah, he deserves some credit for that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But by the way, I want a little credit for making him hold for the 100 minutes before I went to.
Did you guys not see me there at Cliff Melissa?
No, I just know when it calls. I know when calls are not going to be bear fruit, so to speak.
It could say currently being molested by dad, and if Drew got a
sitting,
bad vibe.
Sitting naked on dad's lap right now.
Drew wouldn't go to it.
Yeah.
That's kind of soul he is.
Anyway, so what did you call about?
Damn, I've been on hold so long, I can't remember what I was going to say.
Well, like, you just want to heap some praise on me. That's fine. That's natural.
Give me one second. Yeah, okay.
I like Cliff. He calls the radio show
like
and forgets why
he held this long. It's like I want him to get it out. But.
Dr. Drew?
Yeah, Cliff.
Are you Jewish? No?
Kind of.
Kind of? A hint?
I was raised for a little while that way, and my mother was not. So.
Like a dash of Jew? Like
yeah,
a dash. Saul
yeah.
Thomas?
Yeah, Dash.
Yeah, well, your dad's Jewish, right?
Yeah, I mean, his extended
family. I'm a Jew.
It's the cheap part and the doctor part. But the,
I'm
but
down
the mom is not, and, you know, according to the Jewish faith, if
no,
your mom's
definitely not.
Yeah. Screw it. Right.
Yeah,
okay, buddy.
That was exciting.
Okay, all right, Cliff.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. First of all, I want to say hello to everyone at West.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. All right, that's
buddy.
It. There,
this is not street soldiers. We're not doing shout-outs now?
Let's hope he never wins an Emmy.
What am I doing up here?
I want to say hi to the conductor dude in the band. It's cool.
It started so poorly, and then it went downhill from there.
Yes, it got worse.
Yeah, listen.
Here we go.
You stay on hold for 99 minutes.
You poop out. You poop out. Because people are. They're holding, and they're sleeping on the phone. They're in bed, right?
Mark.
Sure. Mark, what's up?
26.
How's it going, Adam? How's it going?
Good.
Good.
I just want to ask you, what exactly constitutes a sexual addiction? And how do you go about getting treatment for it? Do you have to see a specialist?
What are you doing?
You do need to see people that have as their primary practice treating sexual addictions because it is a very difficult and specific thing to treat.
Yeah, tell me about it.
And the addiction is really defined by consequences. Sexual compulsive is someone who... can control it to some extent and who doesn't have a family history of addiction and has never been addicted to any chemicals. A true sex addict usually is someone that's been addicted to a chemical, always a family history of addiction. Both compulsivity, sexual compulsivity and sexual addictions, usually there's a history of childhood sexual abuse.
Well, okay, what are you doing? What are you doing now?
I guess I'm the former because I've never had a chemical addiction and I've never been abused.
What's happening?
I've been married for a few years now, and I can't quit cheating on my wife. I've tried to do
it. How many times have you cheated?
Oh, God. How many times individually? I can't count it.
Well, how many people have you cheated with?
Double digits.
10.
Maybe 15, 16.
How old were you when you got married?
23.
And why'd you get married?
Well, when you're in love, you're in love.
Was there a kid, a child, or something?
No, we just had a kid a couple of years ago.
Well, let me ask you this: are these prostitutes? Where do you meet these women?
It's well, that's the thing. It's like I try to stop, but I don't know. I just kind of have a knack with women. I'm not trying to brag on myself.
No, all right.
Yeah, I don't necessarily call this sexual
addiction.
Because
I tell them, look, I'm married. You know, I'm not looking to get a divorce. I have a child. I'm not. You know, I don't want any kind of relationship.
Well, let me ask you something.
They just seem to keep. I mean, it's like a draw of some women.
No, I know. It's a blessing and a curse. I got the same thing. it's like the huge penis. A lot of people are envious, but really, it's difficult.
It's a heavy burden to bear.
Literally heavy. Literally
Mark,
heavy.
You're just a cheater.
Yeah.
This is not sexual addiction. This is just flat out.
It'd be
out
nice if
cheating.
It was.
Yeah.
But let me ask this. What do you do? Do you work in the restaurant industry?
No, I'm in law enforcement.
Law enforcement. Oh, yeah. That does, it does go around. But we're sort of fitting together. Here's let me give you my thesis on cheating, which is, guys will tend to cheat given the opportunity.
If they can, they will, yeah.
And
or if they don't accept the consequence. They don't really acknowledge what it does to their family and their wife and stuff.
If you get yourself in an environment where there's plenty of temptation, almost like anything, if you're trying not to gamble, stay out of the casino.
Right.
It's easy to do both ways. It's easy to get in that environment and become that person, and it's easy to stay out of it and not become that person. Mark seems like he needs to stay out of that environment if he wants to stop cheating.
Don't let there be any opportunity for this.
But do you also think that with this compulsive cheating, or not compulsive, but this repeated cheating, that there's a part of him that wants out of the marriage and doesn't know how to deal with that? And so, it's one thing to meet someone, have sex with them.
You're thinking like a woman again.
Yeah. Am I? All right. Well, it's hard to do the breasts and everything. It's,
here's
sometimes
Mark's situation. Mark should...
So you're saying this guy wants to be married, wants his kids, and
wants to have his cake
and eat it too. Okay.
Mark's a cop. Mark's a cheater. Mark's a thrill seeker.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but if you're a cop, you're also most of the time in a position of power and probably feel like you can do what you want without consequences.
The deal is, Mark.
But I think he's attracted to thrill.
Yeah, and there's a very simple sort of equation in addiction, and if you can stop. If you can't stop, then you can start to look at it as an addictive process.
Mm-hmm. Is it the sort of thrill of it that hooks you, Mark?
Yeah, I'm definitely a thrill seeker. I've always have been ever since I was young.
Right. All right. So
find some other way to act that out.
Well, do what Schwimmer says. Get a thrill out of talking to your kid. Yeah. Now that Schwimmer's given the green light on moving his mouth in front of his kid.
Except the fact that, yes, indeed.
But
except
do you want to stop?
You're harming your child. You're harming your wife.
Right.
It is extremely destructive to both of them. And if, in fact, you love them, make some commitment on their behalf not to do this.
And you're not an addict, just an a-hole.
The fact of the matter is, once you start cheating, the relationship with your spouse is affected, whether she knows about it or not. Your friendship with them, your intimacy with them, your honesty with them goes out the window.
True. I always says that because his wife's listening. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right. This Aisha Tyler, she gets you all talked out during the commercial break. Shoot my wad, I got nothing left. I'm in the refractory period during the show. I'm like trying to get my wind back, trying to collect my thoughts. I do so much goddamn talking during the commercial. All right, a total
delight.
That's
not just tonight, by the way.
I'm stimulating.
Yeah, that's true. Aisha Tyler, name of the book, Swerve, Reckless Observations of a Postmodern Girl. Go out and get it. And Jeff, I always call him Greg because of Kameen. Jeff Probst in here tomorrow night from Survivor. You're a delight, Aisha.
Thank you.
And you come back and do the Oreo with David Alan Greer and Dr. Drew anytime you like.
We're going to moonwalk and high five and speak and shizzle. It's going to be exciting.
What it is. So until next time, Sam Krolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. The Schwimmer said we should start talking to the kids. Well, I thought we were going to beat them and burn them with cigarette butts. No. It turns out that's wrong.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.